Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe, and we've reached halfway. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Your ears are now in Edinburgh, home of the largest arts festival in the world. Festival Fringe is at the midway point, if you count all the stuff that you did in the preview week as being part of the Fringe. So you could say that we're only a third of the way through because we're just starting week two of three. Depends how you do the maths. But we've got a lot of Americans over here, so it depends how you do the maths. You're in our country now, you use the S. Wow, I'm feeling combative this morning, aren't I? Yes. Well, yeah. Okay, let's just bring the music down. Hi, everybody. Ewan Spence here once more, calling you from Edinburgh as we bring all the fun of the festival as much as we can to you. 3,500 shows over the month and a few of them popping up here on the podcast. And yes, I'm going to count it as being halfway through the Fringe, so that's fine. Because it's the middle Monday. This is when a lot of shows will go dark and take the day off. Now, not all of them are taking the day off, and some of them are taking the day off on Wednesday, so do check listings for details. But, consider that about half to two-thirds of the shows are going to be dark here on Monday. Now, that means they could be getting in some extra sleep. They could have made sure that they had a late night on Sunday because they knew they could not do anything on Monday. They could be getting out of Edinburgh to try and find Ruined Castle to get some nice Instagram shots. It's called Hales Castle, by the way. But also, taking stock of the Fringe on this middle Monday, it's the Fringe Society itself. And there's two numbers to consider from them. The first is the barrier of 1 million tickets issued has been passed. Now, some of those may well be for the next 2 weeks, but there we are. There's the million. Last year saw over 2.2 million tickets sold for the whole of the Fringe, and sold also means that you can pre-reserve seats at the free show. So as with all numbers, it gets a bit squiffy, but it feels like we're on target to equal last year. But we should point out that last year's numbers were down like 27% on the last comparable Fringe, which is 2019, which was, of course, pre-pandemic. So we've not fully recovered as yet. The other number is about the Fringe app, 55,000 downloads on that. There's no breakdown, by the way, in here on tickets sold or active users or anything like that. And this is a trickier one to judge because last year there was a last-minute decision to not provide an app that would navigate you around the venues, let you search for shows, do special offers, and buy tickets. And a lot of the performers found that incredibly disheartening. So when we get to the end of August, hopefully we'll get a bit breakdown on the app and find out if it's good or bad for the number of attendees, for the performers to do some support, for the venues' budgets, was it suitable for the advertiser, all of that to come. But at the heart of this all are the performers. So let's meet another one, Sikisa. Her show, Hear Me Out, is her second hour-long show at the Edinburgh Fringe. During last year's debut, after reading a passage of text, an audience member wondered if she might be dyslexic. To cut a long story short, and not to give away too many spoilers from the show, Sikisa was diagnosed, and this year's show is about that journey. Sikisa and I talk about her performance, how it rarely reflects how she is away from the comedy stage, the importance of music and dance, and how our 2023 show can be summed up in a single question. Why is it so hard to say the right thing? Joining me now on the Edinburgh Fringe show, returning to the Fringe after a year that has seen a lot of change after last year's Fringe. A lot to go on about here. Sikisa joins me now. Welcome to the show, Sikisa.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
And yep, it's you bringing your second hour to the Fringe.
Yes. Why am I doing it to myself? I have no idea. But we are doing it.
Is it your second hour in total? Is this the second 1 hour show you've done?
Yes, it's what they call the sophomore year, isn't it? Or the sophomore show. Yeah, so obviously it's not my second year going up to Edinburgh, but it's my second full show.
How many years at Edinburgh now?
I wasn't there during the 2 years of the pandemic, obviously, including the one that was the mini one. So there was 2 years before 2 years. So before.
Yeah. So you were coming up before and you were like doing the package shows, just getting a feel of the Fringe.
Yeah. So I did in 2017, I did the BBC New Comedy Awards, and it was in the semi-final and the final. I was doing some compilation shows. And then in 2018, I did a split show. 2019, I ran 2 weeks doing a formatted show that I was trying out. So that's actually been 5 years. I'd have lied to you. It's 5 years. So yeah.
It's when fringes just blend into each other, don't worry about it. You can just go, I think it's Terry Pratchett, there isn't one, two, many, and lots. And I am on lots and lots going through. But the show this year, hear me out. Tell me a little bit about it.
So the show is all about... the fact that I'm trying to be a bit more honest with myself and people. I got diagnosed as being dyslexic as an adult last year, and it's kind of made me realize certain things about myself, that I'm not very good at communication, but also I'm just not really good at being honest. So the show is all about that, but also just trying to emphasize how I communicate better to people. So I'm hopefully going to convey some sort of message to the people. Whether that comes across is a different situation. But there is a nice surprise at the end.
And we're not going to spoil it here. That's not what this podcast is all about.
But no spoilers.
I'm curious when you said honesty there, because there's two types. There's honest with yourself, and then there's bringing that honesty to stage.
Yeah, so I find myself... on a personal basis, or probably actually just in life, because I gig all the time now, I find myself being more honest on stage to strangers than I am to my friends and family. And I don't know what it is. I haven't really clicked what it is, whether it is because I don't know comedian audiences. They don't know me to judge me, or they don't know me to, like, I'm never going to see them again. So if I say something like, stupid or something that how is of something that's quite honest about me, what are they really gonna do? And it's not, whereas if I felt like I feel like, or certain things to my friends, I feel like sometimes they might hold a grudge or feel offended by what I say or something along those lines.
Is that in part because the audience can't say something back to you, as you said there, but your friends and family can?
Yeah, exactly. Like, audiences pay to sit there and listen to comedians, and they've got no choice. Like, sometimes you do get hecklers that pipe up and want to say some things. Like, I did a show the other day, and there was two separate people in the same show who decided to ask questions or make a comment. And I'm like, this is not the time. What? There's no need. It's not relevant. Why are we asking random questions? So, oh, yeah.
Got to love the audiences. But, you know, you've done Edinburgh last year. You're gigging now. Does the Edinburgh audience feel different?
I feel like the Edinburgh audience does kind of feel different. I feel like people are up there for two separate reasons. I feel like people who are, I'm talking about audience-wise, are either up there because they've heard the Edinburgh Fringe is up. They want to have a good time, maybe potentially up for the week or weekend with their friends, celebrating birthdays, or just with their families, just having a little holiday. And then you've got the separate audience, which is the people that are hardcore arts fans who go up there knowing who they want to see, knowing what type of comedy they like, and are invested. And those are the people that I find are the hardest.
Why?
Because I feel like they're harder to crack, especially when you're a new person. I feel like, obviously, comedy is subjective and not everyone's going to enjoy my type of comedy. But sometimes I feel like hardcore fans are like, who are like arts, a hardcore Edinburgh fans will just sit in a show and potentially like maybe laugh every 10 minutes where there's laughter in between that should be happening because they're so fascinated by analyzing everything, and they come out the show being like, I really enjoyed that. And I'm kind of like, can your face show it, please? Whereas sometimes I find people just up there enjoying the Fringe for what it is and just there for having a good time, just embrace it a little bit more.
I'm going to take a little slight diversion here because I find it interesting. You said, can you let your face show it more? And one of the things I find when I get to like the second or third week of The Fringe, as someone who is, you know, reporting on The Fringe and has to do some of that analysis, is I never want to sit in the front row because I can think in my head, that is probably the most funniest thing I've ever heard. But I am so tired, I can't show it on my face. And it's like, there's venues go, oh no, you have to film from the front, you have to film through it. I'm like, no, you really want me on the back row.
Which is fair play. I understand if you're there for the full run, it can be quite obviously tiring, knackering, seeing how many shows a day. I don't know how people do that, to be honest. I tried to do like watch at least minimum two shows last year, and I was like, per day, and I was like, no, not doing it. It's too much. It's too much. But also, with me personally, I understand that the front row is the worst place. So I don't necessarily always go front row. I always potentially go second row, third row, because they specifically sit there thinking they're not going to get picked on. And I'm like, I will find you. Regardless of where you're sitting in the show, I will find you.
Confrontational is too strong a word, but it does strike me that you have quite a large presence on stage.
I would say I have a hypnotic energy. That's how I would like to describe it. I'm all about having a good time and like just having fun, and potentially just like not taking myself too seriously. And I feel like, especially in the day and age that we live in, where there's so much going on in the world, in the UK, in our own personal lives, we should just, the reason why we're in, watching comedy shows is just to have some fun. And I feel like my energy is catchy. Make it sound like it's a virus. Catch my energy. So even though like people say that I'm a big, strong persona, off stage, I'm not really. And I feel like it's because that's the opportunity for me to like be big, bold, be bold, and like be honest.
I mean, one of the things that I know you're going to be talking about in the show is that difference between the personas, what's on stage, what's in personal life. And we've already touched on that briefly there. And that you being more honest with yourself. What kicked off all this process?
It was probably the lockdown, to be honest. So in 2021, I had to do a live reading of Akala's book during, I think it was during Black History Month. And I was stumbling on words and freezing on words during this live recording. And it got to a point where the word program was not coming out my mouth. And I was looking at the TV going, you know this word. It's on that TV every time. What is this word? And I got so frustrated and annoyed. And I was like, something's going on, or something's been going on, and you've just not been honest with yourself about it. You need to figure out what that is. And then I kind of put it to the back burner, because then I had Edinburgh coming up. And then I kind of revisited the whole situation. Because I was like, something's really not clicking with you. You need to figure out what that is. Something's missing. And then I got diagnosed as being dyslexic, and it all kind of like made sense. But it also made me question a lot of things that who I am as a person, and question why I do certain things because of the diagnosed, I can't even say words, of the reveal, if you want to put it that way, of me being diagnosed as being dyslexic. So it kind of was, It was kind of heartbreaking, but also kind of a rediscovery. I wouldn't say like I'm a brand new person. Just a lot of things kind of make sense. And I'm trying to just be a bit more honest about who that person is.
So that honesty is kind of like almost like a learning process as well?
Yeah, exactly. It is a learning process. Obviously, like living with a learning disability for all my life and not realizing that I had it, and gone through the things that I have gone through in education wise, and having an education, and people are quite shocked at how I've gone through all of that without having to like deal with this, I don't like to say disability, but learning, it's a learning disability. So like, I kind of been like, you know what, this is the situation. Let's just potentially help some other people. Cause the one question I get asked is, why did I want to know as an adult? And like I said, it was just kind of like a missing piece of the puzzle.
Looking back then, what now you've got a different puzzle piece, as it were. Your brain's rewired itself so you can look at things a different way. What surprised you about yourself looking back then?
How I missed it. I think really. Certain things like, I still look at my hand to understand left and right. And I didn't realize I was doing that until like someone said something and I was like, oh, cool. I don't know how I've been good at driving. I've not had one accident in 11 years. How has that been possible when we can't remember left and right? Also, like certain things like understanding the fact that this is why I've not been good at learning languages. I've been so like adamant that I wanted to learn Spanish since I was in school. It was the one language I ever wanted to learn was Spanish. And I was so frustrated with myself about certain things. I think that's the other thing. Like I got so frustrated about certain things, about why I couldn't get certain things, why things were not getting in my head, why certain things were not clicking with me. And I blamed myself for a lot of it. Whereas now I understand why that situation is happening. So it was just a clearer situation for me. And that's why I kind of am happy that this is something I'm able to talk about in the show.
So yeah, you've rolled a lot of that back into this hour then.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you decide that this is the show to really open up about that?
When I decided I was never going up to Edinburgh again. Hey! To do the Fringe. No, last year my show was like my debut show, my debut hour. And I obviously wanted to go into that debut hour with like a solid show, a show that I've been, obviously, most people work on their debut hours for ages. And obviously a lot of my show was me talking about myself, but also like things that I've dealt with. And it was all about parties and having a really good time. So this show, I just wanted to do something different. Something that was like still me, but a different part of me. So I hope like people who potentially saw my first show and have come to the second show still find it funny, but also like learn more about myself and potentially themselves.
So the show itself coming up to Edinburgh, where can people see it?
You can see it every single day until the 27th at Monkey Barrel at 7:50.
And we will have links to that, as always, back on our website, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. And we're in a big, massive connected world, so everyone listening can head to wherever you are online as well. Where would that be?
You can find me. I've got a website, so it's sakisacomedy.com, or you can go on my Instagram, which is sakisacomedy. Same with Twitter, same with Threads. I'm on Threads now. Find me on Threads.
I love that ambition that Twitter is still going to be there when this goes out on the podcast.
Yeah. If not, find me on Threads. Same at TikTok. It's also Keto Comedy, so find me on there.
And we'll have links to the website back on our website, into the box office, all of that to see the show. Hear me out. Sakisa, thanks very much for coming on the show and letting us hear a little bit more about your story.
No, thank you.
Sakisa there with the show Hear Me Out. It's on at Monkey Barrel. It's through until the 27th. That's one of the shows that is up today, but it's dark on Wednesday. So again, listings, check them. 7:50 p.m. though to the end of the month. As always, link, like, love, share, subscribe, and leave us a star rating in your favorite social media haunts or podcast directories or apps or wherever you go out and say things that you link to, that you like, that you love, that you share, and do the subscriptions, the follows, and all of that. Everybody asks that. You know what I'm asking for. So, you know, if you want to do it, go and do it. But if not, I hope you've enjoyed this time you've spent with myself and today's guests. And hopefully you'll join us tomorrow. It'll be a different guest. It'll still be me. Ewan Spence, back here in Edinburgh. See you soon. You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence, produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.